Yeah, I think it's an interesting fixture this Friday. I checked the weather online, like our old colleague Budgie normally comes in and says, but there's no wind, there's no rain. Unfortunate for Brighton. I know they thrive in those conditions.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace will be excited, but I think the AFCON is on the way. A lot of teams are missing players, and particularly Brighton and Palace. For Brighton, Yves Bissouma is their key man. He's their go-to man. He makes his presence known in the midfield.
Yeah, that's a huge blow.
Huge blow for Brighton. But Inokunwepu, he might be fit. Lewis Dunk might be fit. There's an outside chance that those two players come back in. Could be a good one for Potter. And then on Palace's side, there's some major players missing. It's Wilfred Zaha, Chek Kiyote, and Jordan Ayew. Those are key players. We all know that. But Conor Gallagher is also back. There is a boost in the midfield. He's been excellent. And my colleague Brian Nika loves Olise, youngster that's come through under Patrick Vieira's watch.
Yeah.
He played well he's actually scored back-to-back goals, West Ham. And then in the FA Cup, he scored against Millwall. So I think he'll be able to come into the field and have that youthful energy, you know. But I can't see either team taking the victory in this one. So I'm back in the draw.
Tebo, you agree with that?
The draw, or are you going to pick a winner?
I'm gonna go with Brighton winning this one. Mainly as Joshua mentioned, there are a couple of players missing there at Crystal Palace, and I would say they're almost like they are sort of like, okay, yeah, they're important players.
Yeah.
They are the backbone. That's the way. That's the way I was going with. They're sort of like the backbone of that team. I know Patrick Vieira has come in and introduced new ideas, but Kouyaté is still a big player there. Ayew, who I thought wouldn't have a future at Crystal Palace, has changed.
Yeah.
His holder play and link-up play up front has been really good this season. And obviously, we all know the threat that comes with Zaha. They have replacements. Sure.
Yeah.
But those three players, all three of them being gone at the same time, I think it might disturb the flow of the team and how they play. Brighton on the other side, yes, they are missing a key player in midfield, but they still have a lot of their players within that team. And they've been playing good football this year, this season, rather. They've carried on from some strong performances last season. And I really think they're at home, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Being the home team, they might really go for a full 3 points on this one, and I see them taking them. Yeah.
Well, look, it's definitely going to be a one that you don't want to miss out on. That's for sure. I mean, two quality teams. Yes, both squads have been knocked by players gone to play for their countries at AFCON, but I still think we should be in for an entertaining game. I understand, the favor of a draw, but I just think I'm going to have to side with Tebo here because I just think home advantage might just be the deciding factor. Just give them a little bit of a boost, when things are just a little bit difficult, not going their way. They have the home crowd just spurring them on, and, home advantage is key, especially in the Premier League. So I think I'm going to go for Brighton to just edge a tight affair. Moving on to Saturday now, and it's the big one, arguably the game of the weekend. It's Manchester City versus Chelsea in a top-of-the-table clash at the Etihad. Sorry, I mean the Etihad Stadium in Saturday's early kickoff. So the Citizens with 11 straight league wins. Thomas Tuchel's side just one defeat from their last 24 in all comps. This should be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one, definitely. Without question, the biggest game of the weekend in any competition. For me, Manchester City, they've got two games to win the league. This one, and then it's Liverpool in, I think it's early April or late March, somewhere there.
Okay, Josh, what would you say about those who have actually said that they've won the league already?
Look, if Chelsea are able to get the 3 points over them, yeah. It's a close one. I know it's, I think it's what, like 10 points now off of Chelsea. And Liverpool, they might have a game in hand. The league it's a difficult league. Anything can happen. Yeah. Yes, they did start off slightly slow, City. And they could back off a bit. I mean, when Champions League come, you know where they put their focus. That's what they want. They've won the league a couple of times already. I think the focus then goes to the Champions League. This game, however, I'm sure they've got everything running on this one. I think we saw Gundogan post on social media watching, I think it was El Clasico, and doing some research on the fixture.
Yeah.
So
looks Pep's like he was writing a betting preview.
Yeah, Pep's got the team doing homework at home on their off time. So I feel like this is the big one. It's the Chelsea fixture and it's the Liverpool fixture later on, that if they win those two games, they win the league. So I don't think it's over until those two fixtures are played. But this weekend, I know Chelsea is coming to good form again. The depth that some people might have thought that they didn't have is finally actually pulling through and getting the results.
That's because all the COVID players are coming back now.
And getting the results again. So it's going to be a tight one. I think City is way too short against Chelsea. It's like that's a bit of disrespect to the European champions. But I do think City get this victory. I think this is the one that they put all their focus on. But I think it's going to be a low scoring affair. So to add some value to that one, I've gone Manchester City win and under 3.5. It's 15-10.
Nglebo, City haven't won, completed a league double over Chelsea in a couple of seasons now. And, City might have won the first game at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea were just shocking that game. I remember watching it and just being so disappointed with the setup and approach. Thomas Tuchel, I think he changed his shape completely and it just backfired. And City, it was just comfortable. They, without any fuss, they got the 3 points. But let's not forget Chelsea, since the arrival of Tuchel last season, beat Man City 3 times in a row, including the Champions League final. So I think we know that Thomas Tuchel's side can beat Man City. The question is, can they do it on Saturday?
Hey, it's gonna be a very, very difficult match, Chad.
Yeah.
Mainly because I was saying to someone, I think last week or the week before, that once City start opening that gap, there at the top at number one, it's like
to
those
stop.
Yeah, it's like those players just agree, say, guys, we're doing this now, we're taking this. So it'll be Chelsea's job to try put the brakes on this Manchester City train, but I don't see it happening either, guys. I'll be honest. Like, I think all football fans would like for Chelsea to take something from the game, maybe even a draw. To keep the league interesting, because it will look like City has won it if they beat Chelsea this weekend. But
they're already running amok.
So they did beat them in the Champions League final, which means Tuchel knows how to beat Chelsea, or not Chelsea, City. He knows how to beat Pep Guardiola teams when it matters, and now it matters. So maybe he will set up his team the right way this time around. It's at the Etihad, but it's not the most scary stadium to go to, even though they have that winning record right now. It's going to be a hard game, guys. I can't even call it. But City will probably win it. Yeah.
How do you challenge for a league title when your rivals have won 10 league victories in a row? It's incredible. Is there any team to... Okay, Chelsea and Liverpool are expected to be City's challengers, competitors for the league. Is it even possible for anyone to stop them right now? Like, in my opinion, I think if they win this game, and they are expected to win this game, in fact, I expect them to win it. I back them to win it, even as a Chelsea supporter, and it hurts me to say that. But I think regardless of the results of this game, I think the league is just, with such a big gap, I agree with you. I think it's just too difficult to stop, because you have to hope they drop so many points if you're Liverpool and Chelsea, while you still have to take care of your business as well and go on like a rampant run, which is what they are doing now. So I just don't see it. But
I think it's a difficult, you almost have to hope that they slip up, which they aren't bound to slip up. At the same time, I don't wish any harm on any player, but there is a lot of COVID cases that go around, and then injuries that can take place when you're competing in so many competitions. But then again, they have such depth in terms of just their bench. Not, I'm not going into the under-23s or anything like that. Just their bench alone, they have a very good squad that can take them through moments like that as well. So it's a difficult ask. So tomorrow's game is a big one. I feel like Ntebo was saying, if we want to see this league still being exciting, Chelsea have to win this game.
Yeah.
But as I said, I can't see it happening.
Well, up next, Leicester City look to make it back-to-back league wins for only the second time this season when they host a Burnley side winless in eight.
Easy win for Leicester City. I know they're also missing some players who have gone to the AFCON. Didi is missing in their midfield. But they have good replacements. They have decent players that can fill those positions. Iheanacho doesn't play week in, week out. Brendan Rodgers seems to prefer other type of players to attack. So, but I still see a Leicester City win.
They've got so much quality, don't they? Yeah.
Compared to Burnley, who are finally getting their deserved relegation after many seasons.
Yeah.
They've been anti-football.
Yeah, no, for so long. They remind me a bit of Tony Pulis's Stoke City team.
Yes. Yeah. It's like going to play at Burnley is back in the day.
It's like a rugby match.
Stoke City, yes.
Yeah.
So, but besides that hate from my side, I really do see Leicester City beating Burnley easily. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree with everyone. This one's straightforward. I'm backing Leicester. They're in good form. And they have the players to make it happen regardless of the ones that are missing. For me, I think Burnley's back-to-back 3-1 defeats, it's not looking good for them, and I back them to go down this season, in our predictions at the, before we, a ball was kicked. So,
While you're on that topic, you did bet Man United to win the Premier League.
Ntebo would like to hear that.
This was before a ball was kicked.
This was before a ball was kicked when you looked at the paper. So at least maybe one of my predictions can come through. But in this one, I'm backing Leicester to win. I mean, at 14-10, you can't pass that up.
Well, let me ask you guys about Leicester. We know the quality that they possess. You know, they're the FA Cup winners, and you know, there's just like the world class players, even at Brendan Rodgers' disposal, the attacking talent that they have. Have they dropped too many points now to suggest that they can go on, a good run of form and finish in the top four? Is the top four completely out of sight? Do they have to focus now on a Europa League spot? And is that even out of the question, considering the amount of points that they've already dropped at this early stage? Well, not really early stage, but I mean,
I think for me, in that bracket, inconsistency is a lot. That bracket going for top four. So it's a possibility, but they're 10 points off of fifth. That's a big gap. It's basically between Chelsea and City. A lot of people are writing the league off already. But like I'm saying, there's a lot of inconsistency in that bracket whenever you're going for top four. And I think that it's possible for them to make. But it's going to be a big ask. It'll have to click almost every weekend.
And also those above them have to like really drop in.
And also drop some points. I mean, Wolves have been looking excellent. I mean, I give Wolves more of a shout for top six to make that six spot over Leicester. I mean, they've had a good defense and Leicester haven't. It's not over, but it's a very big ask in my opinion.
Okay.
Sorry to interject. I'm just looking at their next game. They're playing Tottenham next after Burnley. They have two games in hand. If they do win this next match,
it's key.
If they do win this next match, they could go to Tottenham Tottenham would be coming to them. In any case, if they could beat that Conte team, then they are only looking at 4 points behind number five. So they
are very much in the mix.
I would say they're still in the mix mathematically speaking but when you really analyze the league, they haven't been consistent enough as you just mentioned now. And I don't think they'll have enough in their tank to really push your West Ham's, Arsenal, Tottenham, and maybe, maybe, just maybe, Manchester United.
Well, next we have a battle of the strugglers when Newcastle host Watford in what may prove to be a crucial clash for these sides' survival hopes. The richest club in the land are winless in 5-4 losses, while the Hornets have showed no sting, losing 7 matches in a row.
It's a big game. At the bottom of the table.
It's a very significant.
Game at the bottom of the table. I think Kieran Trippier made his debut finally. Well, in the FA Cup, not for Premier League yet. He's short. He was the best player in that game. I didn't see the whole game, but I caught some glimpses of it. He was the best player in that fixture, and I think he comes from a team that won something, so he has something to add. Definitely, he's a quality player.
He's definitely been. He's a Newcastle type of signing, like, you know, with the new change of ownership that we expected. Like, he's a good name, big name. You know, Manchester United have looked at him in the past, but it's the number 9 that is a little bit of a confusing one for me, especially knowing that Newcastle have struggled to score goals.
Yeah, I mean, signing Chris Wood from Burnley. Our team we just spoke about, the rough and tough team, Burnley. I'd assume Newcastle want to look good when they play, when they're signing players. But on the flip side, you can look at it and say, he's a Premier League tested player. If you want to at least give him a shout, you know, he's a Premier League tested player. He's been playing for a while. He might not score the goals, but maybe he'll be able to have that hold up play like Burnley try to produce, and get those wingers that we rave about, well, kind of rave about in Newcastle on the ball. Against Watford, I think Newcastle can kind of, it looks like they're heading in the right direction. We always said when it comes to January, this is their moment to shine in terms of they get to put the money out. I think Newcastle can pull a victory here because I think maybe the mentality might be, they're bringing in the players. It's time we have to start putting in performances. Yeah. The work rate might pick up. Trippier came in and put a good performance in our squad. We can see that the players that are coming in are going to be good. Or bring a different element, and we can all raise our level of game against Watford. Watford's struggling. Saar's out. Imran Laos is out. Adam Messina is out. And the guy that plays for Nigeria, the centre back, he's also out for them.
That coupled with the losing streak.
Surely Newcastle get a 3 points here. So, it's an outside bet. I wouldn't put it in any multiples or anything, but I think I'd back the Maggies.
I would also back Newcastle, especially with the new signings that they have now. They've just signed Chris Wood. And you can see now it's
your favorite
surviving.
Striker.
No ways. No ways. But I would still take him over Rashford right now, there in the box. they've just signed this guy. And I think it's quite clear that they're looking to survive now. They're playing for survival. They're signing players for survival.
There'll be a lot more coming as well.
They were linked with like super top players, you know, in the European leagues that they could go for, but they're being realistic right now about what they need. And Watford can still spring a surprise, but I think playing away from home, maybe they won't be fired up as much. And they are lucky to have kept Dennis, who's supposed to be with Nigeria right now, but we know what happened there. they still have one. I would say Dennis is one of the most dangerous strikers in the Premier League. I know that he hasn't scored as many as the top scorers have. I mean, Mosala is leading by a good margin. But I think next season, a couple of those teams, like, you know, even Newcastle themselves, they might look at a striker like him. And see what is done and the impact he brought at Watford this season. So, yeah, but I still see Newcastle win. It will be a hard-fought win because it's a relegation battle. That's what it is. But Newcastle will just maybe get one goal extra, maybe 2-1, 3-2 there.
I mean, I wouldn't put any money on it because of how they've disappointed in the past, but I do also feel like surely it's now or never. You know, you're going to look at teams like Newcastle are going to be looking at the at teams in the league, and they're going to be looking at Watford as this is a game that we expect to win. despite the situation we're in, we expect to win this game. So I think they'll get it done. But like I say, I'm not going to put any money on that. Staying on the topic of strugglers, Everton visit Norwich up next.
Yo, one of those games that you don't want to watch. Yeah,
just give that emote.
Another relegation, almost relegation.
Yeah.
I don't even think Everton is supposed to be there, to be quite honest. Yeah. They have a good coach.
But they've been shambolic.
Yeah, when you look at that team sheet, you really think they should be higher in the league.
Alan Richarlison, you know, the type of players they have.
They have a really solid squad, Everton. Yeah. And as much as Rafa wants to sign more players, he had a good squad this season to actually be in and around the top 10 at least.
Yeah.
But still with that, I mean, Norwich, when last did they win? They still only have 2 wins this season. I don't see them beating Everton at all. I don't see them beating Everton. I'd be surprised if they even get a draw.
Yeah, I think we're tending to agree on everything for this one. Norwich have, besides not winning a game, they haven't scored in 6 games. So yeah, it's just as straightforward as it can come. Everton win this one for me. I'm backing Everton. I mean, the FA Cup fixture, to get the win in extra time, I mean, it might feel like, hey, something finally went our way after the hard work we put in. So there might be a bit of momentum coming into the game for them also, but at the same time, it is Norwich. So even without the momentum, I might have still backed Everton.
I'm just glad that Frank Lampard's didn't take over that Norwich job, because they were sinking
ship. Impossible job.
Well, finally, we move on to 2 teams in a bit of good form. Wolves play host to Southampton in the penultimate game on Saturday. Hee-Chan and Jimenez have caught the eye for Wolves this season, while Armando Broger, James Ward-Prowse and Shea Adams have been Southampton's most prolific players this campaign. Should be in for a cracking game, Tebo.
Yes, this is a game I would watch.
This is one too.
Yeah, these are both football playing teams. I know Pep complained when they played against Wolves. I mean, Wolves were playing City. They were supposed to do a bit of
what
defending.
Do you expect?
But both teams are playing a good brand of football. They have managers that know that the style of football they want. I won't lie, I really like the Wolves coach Large. I think he's playing a very nice brand of football.
Yeah.
He's got his team playing a very nice brand of football.
It's a little bit different to Nuno Espirito Santos, but they still kept that Wolves way.
Yeah, they're still compact at the back.
Yeah.
They've got great midfield players, and I'm not saying that because they ran a show when they were playing against United.
Anyone can do that. I'm joking.
But they've got really good players in the midfield.
Yeah.
Southampton have just gone through a takeover, right? From new owners now. But yeah, that I don't know if that will give them a bump this January window. But I see Wolves winning this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially on the back of their last performance. I really see them winning this one.
Well, you mentioned the Wolves manager who's caught your eye. You've been very impressed with him. Josh, what about Ralf Hasenhüttl? He was not that long ago. He was linked with the likes of Manchester United, even Chelsea before Roman Abramovich brought Thomas Tuchel in the club. Mm. He's a good manager. Southampton plays some like a great brand of football. They've got now Armando Broger included into that lineup that was already frightening up front.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you see this one going?
I'd like to watch this one. I think not too long ago, I was saying, hey, Southampton is just like they're neither here nor there for me, and they didn't really impress me at all. And then literally, I think like a week after I said that, they won a fixture, and now they've gained some good momentum, and now they actually, on my radar, so to speak, betting wise. But when they come up against Wolves, I think Wolves have shown, I fell in love with Arsenal because of the way that they played under Arsene Wenger. They played excellent football. Defensively, they showed quality, but maybe not as much as how I feel Wolves are showing at the moment. And I think that I like a good defense first team. That's how I would build a team if I had to be a manager. Defense first team, and going forward, they've got some great strikers as well. But I think that with one of their, arguably their best defender this season, Sace is out. He's with Morocco.
Yeah.
So it might disrupt the back line a bit. But then again, Wolves are playing at home. They've got that crowd behind them as well. I'm going to back the draw on this one. I can't see either team taking the victory. They're both coming in with great form.
Yeah.
I'll back the draw in this one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to side with Joshua. I think two teams, identical form, play a similar way, two good managers, think they cancel each other out. Our final game on Saturday is one you do not want to miss. After facing off in the FA Cup on Monday, Manchester United take on Aston Villa again, this time at Villa Park. Steven Gerrard's team, now boosted by the arrivals of Felipe Coutinho and Luca Dean, will certainly fancy their chances, won't they? Table.
Hey guys, I won't even lie. I don't see United winning this game.
Yeah.
I think Aston Villa will take the momentum from the FA Cup fixture on Monday into this game, and they'll feel they can take something, you know, they can win this game. United were lucky on Monday.
Yeah.
We know their issues in the midfield, we know their issues up front, we know they have issues everywhere, Manchester United. Yeah. Still finding their feet. Trying
new coach,
to
new management.
But the biggest issue, I would say the biggest problem for United right now, I know it's almost not related. The biggest problem is controlling what goes out and what comes out. There are so many leakages in that change room. You read a new story almost every day, and it's almost confirmed when a player has to comment on it or deny it, and you see that the story is true.
Yeah.
Especially what's happening around Rashford after what it did, you know. In the not Wolves game. Which game was it? Where he could have scored a tap in, an easy tap in. Yes, it was on Monday actually.
Yeah.
Playing against Aston Villa. So that change room seems so divided right now. You've got players leaking stories. You've got players not really buying into the new manager's system. And
Aston Ronaldo Villa throwing his toys out the cart.
You know? And Aston Villa on the other hand are still on the new manager bounce. And Gerrard is getting those guys playing really well. So with the new additions as well, I honestly don't see United getting a victory there.
Do you see them getting a point?
Maybe a draw. Yes, they could go there and set up for a point. Because one thing I could say about Ralph is that he doesn't seem like a coach that likes losing.
Yeah.
He would take a draw. As much as he's been praised for pressing and playing this brand of football that's exciting and trying to be under a, you know, forward foot.
Yeah.
But he's also a coach that sets up to not lose games. And that's something most United fans didn't expect. And it's there. He doesn't like losing. And you can see it in his setup that he's trying to not lose a game. But yeah, I see Aston Villa winning this one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's a bold. They're coming from you.
Yeah.
Backing against your team. Josh?
I have to know I'm being honest, guys.
I mean, Josh, how do you see this? Surely the arrivals of Luca Dean and Felipe Coutinho will boost Steven Gerrard's team, who actually were probably unlucky not for the game not to go to extra time on Monday.
Yeah, agreed. I think Aston Villa were unlucky in that regard. I know Gerrard came out and said he wasn't that impressed by the fans. He didn't think that it was that loud. Hopefully the fans in the Villa corner, in the villains corner.
He's too used to Anfield.
I hope the fans in the villains corner can back him this weekend and get behind their boys. Make some noise for them. I think they were summed it up very well with United. I never thought about it that way. I know that there was discohesion in the dressing room, but I read the stories every week, but I never thought about it that way. That's
it's the only team.
You need
with
to have a bit of
so
silence, you know?
Headlines.
You know, have each other's backs. And it's obviously, if that's the case in the change room, on the field, you can see it as well. When one person is trying, you can't try and implements a pressing style when pressing is, you got to work in cohesion. And if it's not working in the changing room, then it's not going to work
apparently
on the field.
They have the founder of the press.
Yeah, my points exactly. And I'm sure he, the manager will recognize that, and they will probably set up in the way that they was explaining. Surprised you'd go against your team. I know you said you might get a point. But for me, I know that Ragnarik will probably set up in that way for the points as well. So I'm backing Villa on the double chance to make some value. Yeah, so
safer, but along the same lines.
Bit of value as well.
Yeah.
So Villa on the double chance, and I'm backing both teams to score 14 and 10.
Okay, well, let me ask you guys, despite United's struggles for consistency in this moment, would you still say that United are still the favorites for that top four position? The points are still, they're not that far behind, despite where they currently sit on the table. And remember, they do, but you know, just with the team, but so many quality players, they are bound to turn things around eventually. So would you still say that, obviously Arsenal have come to the party now. There's Tottenham as well in the mix. West Ham can never be written off.
Mm.
But would you say that Manchester United are still the favourites for that top four spot?
I wouldn't say favourites. I actually can't pick a favourite for that top four spot. Eh?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of variables. Tottenham have games in hand.
Yeah.
West Ham have a game in, or got the points there, but they just off the games in hand. Arsenal got a bit of momentum.
It'll be very close. Really
kind of momentum. So there's a lot of variables. I can't really tip a first position for fourth.
What about you, Taylor?
I would agree with Josh in saying that I can't call them favorites.
Yeah.
I cannot call them favorites, even though they have Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean,
yeah,
Ronaldo, guys. It's Ronaldo. I don't know how those players don't even think about that. There's Ronaldo in the team, guys. Yeah,
that
come
should
on.
Be a major you know? Lift. That yeah. should lift you.
But I think the problem with United is not really the players or the names there. It's the attitude.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not buying into the new coach's pressing system or whatever system he sets up.
Yeah.
And if they don't take it upon themselves to play together, because we've spoken a lot about individual moments, but they need to start making those individual moments. They need to turn them into team performances. And that hasn't happened. Mm. Even now with Ralf Rangnick in charge, yeah. we still haven't had one game where we could say, yo, United played really well in this game. So Arsenal are playing well. Tottenham have enough, I think, and West Ham, yeah, you can't count them out. So honestly, if I were to pick favorites from those teams, because of Conte, I would pick Tottenham to be like favorite to get that number four spot, and because they still have like three games in hand to West Ham, who are fourth. I really think Conte knows how to get what he wants, and he won't get the league now. I think he will definitely get that fourth spot.
Is it, eh?
Yeah.
Sure. So you have them as favorites?
Yes, I have. Okay,
we'll discuss Sunday's game just
yes,
now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is where we love to get our listeners involved. So here's our question for the week. From the likes of Manchester United, Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham, who are the favorites for that top four spot? If your comment impresses our panel of judges, we'll be happy to credit you with a 200 rand betting voucher courtesy of Hollywood Bets. If you don't have a betting account with the biggest bookmaker in the country, we'll be happy to sign you up very quickly. So moving on to Sunday, where we have three games. Liverpool host Brentford in the first game, with Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, along with some false positives. Could Brentford cause an upset? Josh?
False positives, FC. I don't want to have a lot to say about Liverpool. I'm rather upset with their manager right now. I mean, first and foremost, AFCON is a big tournament. At least he let his players go. And then secondly,
I think it was up to him. If it was up to him, they would still be, they'd be training for this Brentford game.
AFCON is a big tournament. I'm enjoying it. But back to the EPL, I'm not a fan of Liverpool right now. They might be playing some good football, but I'm not a fan of them. Especially since they cancelled our midweek fixture.
Yeah.
But then again, they always bring a good game. Some of their players are coming back in all of a sudden. So I think Brentford are finally feeling the strain of playing in the top flight. They've been putting some good performances regardless.
Yeah.
But I think they're feeling the strain a bit. Coming up against Liverpool is going to be a very tough game for them. They've shown some great performances against the bigger team. They've shown that they can play football. They don't, like Abel mentioned, Wolves respected City a lot. Yes, they got a good game out of it, or they almost got a point out of it. But I don't think Brentford play that game. I think they go at Liverpool a bit more.
Yeah.
And I feel like they can get a goal. For me, both teams to score, if I'm going to put some money on this one, it's at even money, so it's a good bet for me.
I don't think Liverpool or Klopp likes playing against team that set up, you know, a low block. They'll be happy to play against the team they'll be coming at them.
Yeah, so this could fall into their hands, basically.
Yes, and especially with Mo Salah out, well, in the AFCON, and Sadio Mane, Keita doesn't really play week in, week out. But with those players out, I think they'll be happy to play against the team they'll be coming at them. And it will leave spaces for them to attack and try exploit.
Yeah.
They still have their base and their defense. Yeah. They still have their midfield.
Would it still be as straightforward though? Because we also haven't mentioned Divock Origi's tested report suggests that he's tested positive for COVID. So with him, he was like a certainty to come in their absence, Mane and Salah. So now without Divock Origi, do they even have enough firepower? Going to the Brentford Stadium is going to be rocking. Now the bees buzz whenever the big boys come to town. We saw their performance against Chelsea. Is there anything in you that sees, you know, a possible?
Well, if Jota is available, Firmino is also available, and then you can put a Minamino there.
Yeah.
Or
well, I suppose Oxlade as well.
Yes. They played him in a false nine the other time.
Yeah.
I think it was two games or so ago we played false number nine because they were missing so many players. Liverpool still have enough. I know you guys questioned their depth last week. They don't have like the depth that compares to City, for example, or even Chelsea. But I still think they'll have enough to beat Brentford, who have put in some great performances this season. But like my mate just said now, that they're going through a bit of a burnout. That football does require a lot of energy, you know.
It takes its toll on the players.
On the players. And I'll say, I know we were talking about Southampton just now. I think the same thing kind of happens to Southampton.
Yeah.
It takes a toll on, they play good football.
A little bit of a burnout.
Yes, they go through a burnout and they'll lose like 2-3 games in a row. Then they'll come back, play great, win maybe two games, and then they go in a dip again. So that's what happens when you don't have players of the quality Liverpool has. Now, Liverpool has the quality to keep playing at that
level. Maintain that pace. Yeah.
So, they'll maintain it against our Brentford. Honestly, as a United fan, I wish they take something from that game, maybe a draw. I'd go with the double chance as well. Maybe Brentford draw or Liverpool win.
Very quickly for this next game. West Ham host Leeds. Who wins? Sebo?
West Ham.
West Ham.
Easy Josh? Win.
Yeah, it's a bit short. West Ham to score in both halves. That's my play. Nick Benram is out. He's been playing excellent. But I think the guy that they signed, He's the Serbian guy, Vlasic. He hasn't scored a lot of goals, but he creates a bit more as well on the right hand side. I think West Ham. West Ham. The couple of games back, they had the game with Crystal Palace. It was in a 3-2. They came in, they fired for 45 minutes. They scored three goals, and then they kind of like lost their bucks. It's a bit violent, but that stick and turn momentum, finish the game off, you know. Yes, it's 3-0, but it's a bit of a dilemma. But in the last two fixtures, they've kind of been a bit more comfortable. They've scored in the first half and the second half, 2-0 and 2-0. So they lost two fixtures. So I think that for me, the play would be to score in both halves. Okay. West Ham, I think it's 13 and 10 or 14 and 10 somewhere there.
Okay. Well, I think this is the easiest fixture to call, West Ham, to win because, they've already beaten, Leeds twice since the campaign got underway.
Yeah.
They won once in the FA Cup and even last season they completed the double over Marcelo Bielsa's side and that's when Leeds were on top of their game.
Yeah.
So this is an easy call for me. Okay, and last but certainly not least, this is the one you've been waiting for, Josh. One of the biggest fixtures in English football, Tottenham host Arsenal in what should be a cracking North London derby. We'll leave the Arsenal man for last. Tebo, take us through this fixture.
I think this will be a very interesting game because I think it'll be a marker for both teams to show who's more, you know, who's better positioned between the two to make that run in for the Champions League spots. Tottenham didn't play well against Chelsea. They didn't play well against City, if I remember well recently. I don't think they'll play well against Arsenal.
They hardly do. they really play well against Arsenal.
So, Arsenal win for me. I know Arsenal will be away, but they seem to have this aggressive nature about them these days. Arteta prepares that team really well. They still have their lighties. they still have their lighties. I mean, they've just lost. Really one midfielder in Partey in the midfield. Pepe doesn't really play much except from the bench. Who's missing?
There's a few players missing. But I don't want to sound like one of our guys that comes on this podcast as well.
Come on, we can't count Opa, guys.
I don't want to sound like one of the guys that comes on this podcast as well, but we do have a couple of players missing.
Okay, yeah, you can take over. Continue.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like Chad is saying, Tottenham seem to really ever do anything against Arsenal, but I think with Conte coming in...
Not against anyone, Josh, but go on.
No, I think with Conte coming in, he's created a bit more of a winning mentality. I mean, it's hard to create a winning mentality at a club that... I sound disrespectful, but doesn't
win anything. It's facts. They don't win anything.
Yes,
say it.
I don't want to sound disrespectful, but a club that doesn't win anything. And he said it himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's he has a bigger task on his hands than he had anticipated.
I think he once said for Tottenham, a win for Tottenham is a hope. Or something like that. There's some quotes I've seen on Twitter during the rounds now.
Look, we all plan our best to go out and win a fixture. And I think that Conte has created a better mentality at Tottenham.
Yeah.
He's even gotten Kane, who we thought just didn't want to be there. He's got him having flashes of what he should be like. I say flashes, two goals. It's not a lot for what we expect from Kane, but he's gotten something out of him. I don't think it's where Kane wants to leave first and foremost, but I think he's managed to get him in the team very well. For Arsenal, they're missing the midfield is a big hole at the moment. But I do feel that the youngsters that do come in, they also have that London derby, North London derby mentality against Tottenham, and they will put it all out on the field. I think that us missing Xhaka's out with COVID, El Nene, who is a safe player. I'm not a fan, not a big fan of him, but he's a safe player if you do need a backup. And obviously Partey, who's been instrumental in our midfield this season. We saw Arsenal struggle against Nottingham Forest
in the FA Cup.
Due to the midfield, in my opinion. Not that the players weren't up for the fixture, but I think that midfield section is going to be a big problem. So it's hard for me. Look, I know Arsenal can turn up for a Tottenham fixture. That's where our run came this season when we beat them at the Emirates.
Yeah.
I want to back both teams to score in this fixture.
Sure.
But I can back my team. And
you got your Arsenal shirt on for our listeners who can't see.
I'm backing Arsenal to win this fixture, but I do feel that both teams can score. It's at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Their fans, they know that they always turn up for this fixture as well. They want to say something to Arsenal. Just even if they win this fixture, this will be win for them this season. And they want the bragging rights, so they'll get behind their boys. But I do feel that Arsenal can take this one.
Yeah.
Just one final thought. I just think Arsenal cannot afford to lose this game. Tottenham on the other side, they have a bit of space to wiggle. So I don't know, maybe mentality-wise, if that will have an impact on the game. But Yeah, Arsenal definitely cannot afford to lose this game because Tottenham will leapfrog them and they'll still have two games in hand.
Yeah.
And they'll have a point ahead of them. So I really think Arsenal might come with that extra motivation to say, hey, guys, if we're not winning the game, at least let's just stop it. Let's stop it at a draw, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to say, like, my prediction on this is I definitely think that you know, it's going to be a tough game, a tight affair, which is normally the case when these two teams take to the pitch. But I just think Arsenal, with the quality that they've shown in recent performances, I haven't been so impressed with Tottenham at all. I'm a huge fan of Antonio Conte. Of course, I know all about him, being a Chelsea fan, seeing what he's done. But his Tottenham side have been like really poor against Chelsea. Maybe you can draw a line through that because it was Chelsea, but they were really disappointing. They never threw anything at the European champion. So I just think Arsenal take this game. And I think it'll be a tight affair, but I think Arsenal will get the job done.
That's the hope.
Well, that's it from us. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week, have a great weekend and good luck with your bets.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.